Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth from God's Word. We also want to encourage you to come and be with us at our regular meeting periods, and that will be given to you at the end of this broadcast. And we also want to invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. All these radio programs are there in MP3 files. We also have Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on a variety of subjects and a host of other Bible-related material. Please give it a look. We have been studying for the past few months the writings of the Apostle Peter. We are now in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we are looking at the last part of this chapter, beginning in verse 12 through verse 19. And as we begin this morning, I want to read our text that we will begin looking at today and conclude next Lord's Day. Verse number 12, 1 Peter 4. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you have partaken of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. Now, in this particular section, the last section of 1 Peter chapter 4, we are talking about wearing the name Christian. And that is a very important subject for us to consider because it shows the responsibility that we have as God's people to wear the name in a certain way. Basic truth from this text affirms Christians should expect suffering because God's faithful will suffer persecution. That is the fiery trial. Because of the natural opposition between light, which is right, and darkness, which is wrong and sin, according to Ephesians 5, 8 through 13. And men hate the light and love darkness because they hate truth and they love sin. It began with Cain and Abel, and it's gone on from then until the end of time. Rejoice in suffering in Christ's suffering because it means glory when he returns. Reproach as a Christian is glory in the eyes of our Creator. Judgment begins at the house of God, and the rest of the world will follow. Once again, our text deals with suffering, a common theme of 1 Peter. See chapter 1, verse 11, chapter 2, 19 through 23, chapter 3, 14 through 17, and chapter 4, 13 through 19. And we'll see it again in the last chapter of this book, in chapter 5, verses 1, 9, and 10. And so the suffering here of a Christian is as a Christian. Now we're talking about a certain type of suffering. We're talking about suffering as a Christian, because you're a Christian, because of your faith, because of your conviction, because of your example. That's the type of suffering we're talking about. And it's going to happen. It's going to come. 2 Peter 3, verse 12 says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not maybe, not could, not might. You will. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to live by his standard, we're going to be persecuted for our faith. We should just expect that that's going to happen. And we need to prepare ourselves for that, that we don't misunderstand that we're going to be persecuted. And we need to be prepared for that. Our subject for this lesson deals with wearing the name Christian. There is a divinely given name that is to be worn, and there is a proper mode of conduct and behavior that goes with that name. It is a name that is in very high regard, and we need to understand that wearing the name also requires some stipulations of how we conduct ourselves as one of God's children. Defined, a Christian is a follower of Christ. In Acts 11, verse 26, we're told that they were called Christian first in Antioch. In Acts chapter 26, 28, Agrippa said to the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And then the third use of the word Christian is in the text, in our text today, in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. One is a Christian who diligently follows the will of Jesus in his life. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. To be a Christian, we must do his will. We must do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is found in the Scripture. And so we must be willing to live the life of a Christian in order to exemplify and point men to the cross and to Christ that they might be saved. Now, the false concept, they were active and aroused such opposition among the native people that they earned the nickname Christians, a derisive epithet which has to come to be a designation honored and respected by the whole world. Now, again, this is one of the teachings of men that try to say that the word Christian came about as a nickname by native people. That's false. That is totally false. Hester is a VP of the Midwestern Bible Theological Seminary. That's his definition. This belief suits his notion that names do not mean anything. You know why? Because Baptists don't call themselves Christian, they're Baptists. They have a different name. Now, they try to say they're Christians. When I was in Las Vegas, and I talked to a lot of Latter-day Saints, more commonly known to as Mormons, and I would ask them about their name, they say, oh, we're Mormon Christians. No, there is no such thing. God's people are not known by any hyphenated name. God doesn't have any hyphenated Christians. You either are a Christian or you're not. Let me give you an illustration. If you're a Latter-day Saint, you're a Latter-day Saint because you follow the teachings of Joseph Smith in the Book of Mormon. If you believed in the Book of Mormon, if you read the Book of Mormon, and you obeyed the Book of Mormon, what is that going to make you? That's going to make you a Mormon. It's not going to make you a Christian because you have a different seed. The seed in your heart is the Book of Mormon. And the only thing the Book of Mormon can produce is another Mormon. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to put the Word of God in your heart. You're going to have to plant the seed, which is the Word of God. Read Acts 8, verse 11. Now, in all of these, Christians were called, the term Christian, they say, was derived as a heresy, and the sect of the Nazarenes. The term Christian is not a nickname. It is a divinely appointed name. It has nothing to do with the heritage or being given by our enemies or be given as a nickname. That's just false to the core. Men that make such arguments never have studied the Bible, have never read the Bible. 1 Peter 4:16 is a divinely inspired passage in which the Holy Spirit uses the term approvingly of faithful believers. In Acts 11:26, they were called Christians, means called of God. It carries the force of a divine command of God, imparts a revelation or injunction or warning. Something is revealed or prophesied, bears a name, be called or named. Also see Romans 7:3 or Hebrews 8 and verse 5. The name Christian fulfills the Old Testament prophecy concerning a new name that would be given in Isaiah 62, verse 2. Now, unfortunately, our friends at Jehovah's Witness claim that that name is theirs that was given to them by God. They're Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe that's the new name. No, the new name is not a Jehovah's Witness. The new name is Christian. That's the new name. And it's given to every believer. Jehovah's Witness name is only given to those who prescribe to their doctrine and their theology. It's not a name given by God. And by the way, we don't witness anything. We're not an eyewitness to anything. The apostles were the only eyewitnesses. And some of the disciples, they were eyewitnesses. We didn't eyewitness anything. And so we're not, that name that God promised to give his people is the name Christian. Finally, the use of the name Christian should be limited to what can be properly baptized, penitent believers. It's not appropriate to label things Christian that are not Christian, like orphanages, like colleges, like hospitals, like a Christian village. Sometimes we've been referred to as a Christian nation. That is a misuse of the word. The word Christian represents God's people. It represents a follower or disciple of Christ. It is a divinely important name. We wear the name of the one who bought us, the one that paid for us with his own blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 20. He bought the church which we belong to with his own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. And when we wear the name of Christian, we are representing and we are a member of the household of God. We're part of the family of God. We're a brother or sister in Christ, and we are to exemplify and we are to give to the world what it means to be a child of God. They should be able to look at your life and my life and be able to know what a Christian is. But too many times, we're not very successful, and the world doesn't really know what a Christian is because they haven't seen one. Because when one lives like the world, when it acts like the world, when it talks like the world, there's no distinction between them and us. They are living and acting and talking just like we do. And when we do that, we send a mixed message. We don't send a distinct, clear message of who we belong to. People ought to be able to look at your life and look at my life and see that I am a Christian, not because I tell them I am, but because my life depicts that I am, because of how I conduct myself, by how I interact with people, by how I raise my children, how I treat my spouse, what my relationship to the Lord is, well, how I view his church, how I work and do the things that he would have me to do. All these things give evidence if I'm a Christian. Let me ask you a question, dear listener. If you were put on trial to see if you really were a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Could you be convicted of being a Christian by the evidence? Your life's the only evidence there is. Would your life present enough evidence to convict people and to tell the truth that you are a Christian? You are a Christian. Now, today, Christians have it has a very bad connotation. And many people call themselves Christians who are not Christians at all. Why? Because they don't belong to Christ. They weren't bought with the blood of Christ. They're not even part of his church because they're not even in his church. And therefore, they wear the name mockingly and without understanding the responsibility and duty that comes with it. What about it, dear listener? Is the church that you belong to today, do you call yourself a Christian and yet you're not even in the Lord's church? You don't even wear his name. You wear another name. How do you glorify and honor God? How does that bring glory and honor to our Savior and our Maker? Christian, a very, very good word and a very, very important name to wear. And it should be worn in such a way that brings glory and honor to God.